Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the ordinances that the Lord your God charged me to teach you to observe in the land that you are about to cross into and occupy, so that you and your children and your children's children may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life and keep all his decrees and his commandments that I am commanding you, so that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe them diligently, so that it may go well with you, and so that you may multiply greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Let's bless the reading for the day. Mark 12:28-34. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' Then the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher, you have truly said that. He is one, and beside him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbour as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.'" When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any question.
All beings are words of God, his music, his art. Sacred books we are for the infinite, camps in our souls. Every act reveals God and expands his being. I know that may be hard to comprehend. All creatures are doing their best to help God in his birth of himself. Enough talk for the night. He is labouring in me. I need to be silent for a while. Worlds are forming in my heart. Maybe if I brought the moon a little closer, lovers would argue less. They might hold hands outside and point to the heavens and say, "I think God is up to something sweet." The exchange between Jesus and the scribe is one of the simplest pieces of text we have. It's hard to gauge the intention of the scribe, unlike other occasions when the author of the gospel specifically tells us that the Pharisees and the teachers of the laws and the scribes approach Jesus to test him. No such motivation is given to this scribe. He has seen others disputing with Jesus and asks him a simple question. Which commandment is the first of them all, the greatest of them all? And apparently this is not an uncommon question to be asked between rabbis and teachers. It's a basic test to hear which school of thought you follow and whether you have a common platform upon which you can have a conversation. It's the litmus test, so to speak. Unlike previous exchanges with others who came to test him, Jesus does not respond with a question. He simply answers this scribe directly. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. So love the Lord your God with all your passion and your prayer and intelligence and energy." And here is the second. "Love others as well as you love yourself. There is no other commandment that ranks with these." Jesus is quoting from Jewish law and adding his own nuance. As we read there from Deuteronomy, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might." And Jesus adds, with all your intelligence. The scribe simply repeats what Jesus has offered with his own paraphrase and his own addition. A very simple exchange. Jesus ends the exchange by commenting, "The scribe is not far from the kingdom of God." Oh, that it would be so easy. The scribe understands that for all their good intentions and purposes, the sacrifices, the offerings, and even all the other commandments can only be seen through the light of these two commandments. So a current rendition may be that it's all very well and good that we come here on a Sunday morning and we light candles and participate in the sharing of communion and offering our prayers. But what good is it if there is no love? It is of no use and serves no purpose, but is merely window dressing. Instead, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And love your neighbour as yourself. The whole purpose in life is to move oneself toward that place where the love of God is the only motivating activity for all things. It is the number one force, the number one energy, the only thing. And it's not the love of God, but love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. In other words, everything. Loving God is the focus. It is the directive. It gives meaning to all other meanings and brings into light all other activities. Loving God, or our attempts to do so, reveals our motivations. And loving God becomes the means by which our whole being is enlivened and pivoted towards love of neighbour and of self. As the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, "Without love, my actions are a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. Without love, I am nothing." That's pretty strong, isn't it? Without love, I am nothing. In Deuteronomy 6, Moses instructs the people of Israel to recite these words and talk about them with their children all the time. Talk about them when they are lying down and when they are walking around. To talk about these words when they rise and when they are at home or when they are away. To talk about these words with one another. It is to be their common conversation to talk about these words. All too often we find a gateway to avoid talking about these words because we don't want to see our lives held up alongside the love of God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength and with all our mind, because we quite rightly fear that we would be dismal in our offering. And yet perhaps if we spoke more about them, we may find ourselves governed by a new energy and a new force that would pivot us towards a love that was grander than we first thought possible. This simple exchange between Jesus and the scribe is an invitation to look within our own lives and investigate with full openness, where are we placed with loving God? Now, let me be abundantly clear. This is not about how we feel about God. I really don't know how I feel about God at any stage. In fact, it probably needs to go further than how we feel about God. There is a sense that if I based my love of God upon how I felt about God, then I would do my level best to avoid God at all costs. My feelings are not very helpful at the best of times. And there are times when God becomes like mist and cloud and cannot be touched or held or known, and anything that my heart may desire crumbles in God's presence. If I was to base my love of God upon how I felt about God, when I feel sad and when I feel disappointed and when I feel broken away, when I feel worthless, even then it's hard to offer a hallelujah. And the human being can be cast adrift upon the vast seas of God's presence and not even know where they are. How then can I wait to how I feel? How do you feel about God? I have no idea. Never have, probably never will. How do I feel? And then I come to these words from St. Augustine. Late have I loved you, O beauty, ever ancient, ever new. Late have I loved you. You were within me, but I was outside. And it was there that I searched for you. In my unloveliness, I plunged into the lovely things which you created. You were with me, but I was not with you. Created things kept me from you. Yet if they had not been in you, they would not have been at all. You called, you shouted, and you broke through my deafness. You flashed, you shone, and you dispelled my blindness. You breathed your fragrance on me. I drew in breath, and now I pant for you. I have tasted you. Now I hunger and thirst for more. You touched me, and I burned for your peace. To love God is no simple thing. And yet it is, as Jesus and the scribe tell us, to love God is the only thing of any meaning. Loving God is to be fully awake, to be fully alive in heart, soul, mind, and strength in God's presence, and to know that being there is both life and death. This simple exchange between these two teachers is simple in its offering and difficult in its living. Because no doubt some will say that I just have to love God with my entire being and all will be well, and that is true. Love God with your entire being, your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength, everything directed toward God. But the kingdom of God does not allow for you and me to be isolated from the many with whom we share this path. The second commandment is like it, says Jesus. If you are to love God well, then it also goes, you must love your neighbour as you love yourself. If you are to love God well, then you must also love your neighbour as yourself. In these commandments lie the wonder of the kingdom of God. If my love of God does not draw me, if my love of God does not draw me towards loving my neighbour more truly, then I am loving nothing but a figment of my imagination. An illusion that makes me feel good, but from which is not drawn nothing but vapour and emptiness. My love of God, if it is love of God, is to transform my vision of neighbour, transform my vision of neighbour, as well as how I engage with my neighbour, how I see and live with my neighbour. My relationship with my neighbour, therefore, reflects my relationship with God. And no doubt some will all come up to me afterwards and say, but Anthony, this particular neighbour's been particularly difficult. If only you knew this person, Anthony, this person's just terrible. I know the story. I ask myself the same thing. And I wonder what would happen if I was to return again to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and see which part of that is not loving God. A simple exchange between two teachers of the law and my actions and their intents are laid bare on the altar of my love of God. Perhaps the reason I struggle so much to love my neighbour is I am struggling not with the love of myself, which is a nice way to go, because if I have to worry about loving myself, we have me time then, don't we? This is the new thing. I need me time. Not that I want to discourage me time, but this isn't me time. This is a dwelling deeply in the richness of God's grace and wonder, so much so that you look at yourself through the eyes of God. So if you want to have looking at yourself through the eyes of God time, go right ahead. I dare say your vision would be transformed. Who can love with this depth? Who can love with such courage and honesty? There are some days it just seems, quite frankly, impossible, and I'd rather do something else. I'd rather have me time. It's easier to have me time. The nights try to tell me that in the darkness there is no room for such love. Love which is the antidote to fear and to be stricken in that thought that I am wretched. And we all know what wretched is not. Love, as the song goes, love rescues me. So I rise each day and I begin again. Thank the good Lord for sunrise. We rise each day regardless of how high or how lowly we think or feel we are, and we begin again and we start talking again about the love of God. So if after this time of worship together and we go out into our time of fellowship, as if the two are separate acts, and you're struggling with what do I ask this person, perhaps you might want to just sit in silence and consider the question, how am I loving God now? And invite someone else into that space where you could ask that question. So where are you being drawn into love of God today? For we talk of this love and we are to rest in this love. We are to be arrested in this love. We nurture the flame of this love so that our steps of our souls are guided by the loves, by love's own presence. We return to the evening. Thank the good Lord for sunset. We return to our beds. We return to our night. And our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength are quenched by love, find rest in love and flow in love. And we discover, as Anne Morrow Lindbergh offers, the love is always something more than what we thought. For love is a force in you that enables you to give other things. It is the motivating power. It enables you to give strength and power and freedom and peace to another person. It is not a result. It is a cause. It is not a product. It produces. It is a power, like money or steam or electricity. It is valueless unless you can give something else by means of it. It has taken me a long time to learn. I hope it will stay learned and that I can practice it. This is the season of growth, the springtime, the green time, the time of rain and of warm sun, of plants finding roots bedded down deep, and of trunks and branches and leaves and blossoms reaching up to the heavens to give their praise to their Creator. Maybe we also can bed down our roots a little more in the soil of God's presence and just see where love may grow. We may be surprised. And those who are watching from a distance may walk past one day and say, "My goodness, what a beautiful person you are." And you quietly content in yourself, knowing that your beauty comes not from you, but from the richness of God. Stand still and give silent praise to your Maker. Jesus was transformed in his reading of sacred scripture, and in his transformation, he was able to breathe new life into the meaning and the purpose of commandments. He embodied the commandments. The commandments, by the way, things we must do, things we need to do, things we must live by. He lived them as surely as he walked upon the roads of Galilee and took in the sunrise as it sparkled the lake into the morning. And his life became the flesh and blood of sacrifice. He offered his prayer, his intelligence, his passion and energy. He offered them all through the eternal Spirit without blemish to God. May it be that we also do likewise. Amen.